Good to see everybody back with us tonight. We're going to be looking in John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 18 this evening. So let's open our Bibles there and let's think about Jesus and who he was as John describes him here in these verses. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Well, John is seeking to tell us a little bit about who Jesus is here in the opening verses of his gospel account. And of course, we're familiar with John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so he sets out very clearly at the beginning that Jesus was God. He talks about Jesus being light in verses 5 through 13. And then he talks about Jesus being full of grace and truth in verses 14 through 18. And verse 18 is kind of the key verse to John chapter 1. He's basically arguing toward this point and seeking to tell us that Jesus is the only one who can reveal to us who the Father really is. So there are so many people out there in the world who want you to believe that they know who God is, but only Jesus Christ can reveal to us who God is. Even Moses was not able to reveal who God is in the fullest sense, because John tells us that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So there's something that Jesus has to tell us about grace and truth. Let's think about that this evening as we think about this expression, grace upon grace. What does this expression mean? How does it tell us more about who Jesus is? Well, first of all, when we think about this, we understand that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Secondly, that he was the giver of grace upon grace. And finally, he reveals who God really is. And that is, in essence, what John is trying to communicate to us here in these verses. So Jesus, first of all, was full of grace and truth. You know, to be gracious towards someone is to be favorable to them, regardless of how they may treat you. Someone once talked to Abraham Lincoln, as the story goes. How many Abraham Lincoln stories there are out there, right? But supposedly, someone once approached Abraham Lincoln and said, "You know, so-and-so over there doesn't think very highly of you." And Abraham Lincoln's response to that was, "Well, I think very highly of him." And the point being made is that what other people do and say about us does not have to control our thinking and our attitude toward them. And you see, that's what Jesus is all about. He's about showing favor to mankind, regardless of how mankind has approached and treated God, which over the years, prior to Jesus' arrival and even after Jesus' arrival, has not been very favorable. Yet, God has favored mankind with sending Jesus into this world. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus talks to us about love and how we are to not only to love those who love us, but also to love our enemies and pray for them and to do good to them, because our Heavenly Father does that, right? He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And so we are to be complete as our Heavenly Father is complete. As He loves those who don't love Him, so we're also to love those who don't love us. And Jesus exemplified that within His life. He was generous with His love. Many times people would come to Jesus and they would say, please come and heal this person or cast a demon out of this person. And usually His response was simply, I will come and heal him, because Jesus was generous with Himself and who He was. And that is something that we need within our life, to be gracious toward others, to be generous to others with ourselves. And so He was gracious and favorable. Jesus was full of grace. He was also full of truth. And He told people the truth about their circumstances. In John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 47, there were some Jews who were following after Jesus, hearing Jesus. And He said to those Jews who believed on Him, the text says, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And some of those who were there listening to Him replied, why, we're the children of Abraham. We haven't been in bondage to anyone. Of course, they weren't really thinking about their history at all, which wasn't, they had been in bondage many times, of course, as the Old Testament clearly shows. But Jesus said, whoever serves sin is a bondservant of sin. And that's the kind of bondage that He was talking about. You see, He told people the truth about their situation. He told them about the sin that was in their lives and the need for them to repent. He didn't hold back simply because it would make Him popular. In fact, just the opposite. In John chapter 6, there toward the end of the chapter, there were many who were upset with Jesus because of the difficulty of the teaching that He gave them. And many of the disciples, when they heard Him, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Verse 60 says. And so Jesus said, does this offend you? That was His question toward them, because they were offended in Him. And verse 66 says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. He told them the truth, even if that meant they were not going to follow Him anymore. Sometimes the truth needs to be told, regardless of what decision the person who is hearing the truth will make. And that's what Jesus did. And we need to speak the truth in that way also. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And we can be both gracious and truthful. You see, part of John's point is that those two things don't conflict. You can be full of grace and also full of truth at the same time. You can be gracious toward all and favorable and loving and kind, and also tell people the truth about their lives and the sin that's in their lives and expecting them to change their lives. Those two things do not conflict, because Jesus was full of both. Consider Jesus' words to the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8 and verses 1 through 11, while He was there when that group of men came to present her to Jesus and said that the law commands that we stone her to death. And Jesus was silent, you know. And then finally, Jesus turned to those men and said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. In other words, He was saying, go ahead, fulfill the law of Moses. If you yourselves are also innocent of the same crime, because if you're guilty, you need to be stoned also. And one by one, they went away because they knew exactly what they had done in that circumstance. And so Jesus looked at the woman and said, is there no one here to condemn you? And she said, no one, Lord. And so He told her to go in peace. But then He also said this, and sin no more. You see, Jesus was gracious, but He also told the truth. Consider His words to Martha in John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. There, after Lazarus had died and she was in mourning. And yet Jesus talked to Martha about the resurrection and the hope that she had in him and how he was the resurrection and the life. And so those words were words of comfort, words of grace, but also words of truth. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. But then secondly, we see that from his fullness we receive grace upon grace. That's what John tells us there in John chapter 1 and verse 16. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Jesus was grace personified. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in that while he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the favor that Jesus brought for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." Grace upon grace. The grace of the man to the grace in the life of the individual person that Jesus blesses. He personified grace. And so in personifying grace, he is able to act graciously toward others. Think about the compassion that Jesus had as he worked with people and tremendously helped people in their lives. There were hundreds, thousands of people who came to him looking for help and support, and he gave it to them when they truly needed it. Luke chapter 7 and verses 11 through 17 demonstrates that particular aspect of Jesus. It says, "Now it happened the day after that, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region." So Jesus had compassion on this widow woman who had lost her only son, and he helped her. Yes, Jesus was a tremendous character in that regard. He gave his life on the cross and died so that others might have life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 says, "And he died for all, that for those who live, they might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." And so Jesus died for everyone so that we could live for him. And we receive both his person and his actions when we trust in him and we believe in him and let him guide our lives. We truly and rightfully laud and praise Jesus. Every Sunday we come together and we sing praises to the name of Jesus. And we do that because we know how great he truly was. But we have the opportunity to let Jesus live within our life every day to show others the grace and the truth that was in Jesus' life. And is that not something that ought to spur us on to living for him, understanding who he was and what he did and why he did those things? Do we not want such excellence of character to be displayed in our lives also? And so Jesus was given to us. He was a gift. God gave him John 3 and verse 16 says that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he gives Jesus to us today. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God. God gives. He gives generously. He gives us Jesus, the most excellent character who has ever lived and walked on the face of the earth. Do we want to receive that tremendous gift? How do we do that? By letting him into our lives and letting him and reflecting him in us. Jesus is God's gift to us, and his actions are also God's gift to us. He teaches us in many ways, but primarily we see that he taught through his example. And Peter reflects on that a little bit in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 23. He says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What a great example Jesus was, and what a great model that he is for us today. And he chose the cross because he knew the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and then sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 tells us this, for the love of Christ controls us or compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. You see, Jesus died for all of us so that we wouldn't have to die. His death counts as our death in the sense of taking the penalty for our sins, right? And as a result of that, we get to live freely. We get to live a life that is beautiful, a life that helps others, a life that results in the praise of God and Christ Jesus. That's why he died on that cross, to give himself to us. And so we receive him as we seek to live that, follow that example and live that life that he taught within our lives. But then John's final point here in John chapter 1 is that Jesus reveals to us who God really is. And if we understand what he is talking about here, that Jesus was full of grace and truth. If we understand what he's talking about when he tells us that when we have through Jesus received the fullness of him and grace for grace, then we will really know the character of God. Because no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. If you want to know who God is, go study more about Jesus. Learn more about who he is, and you will understand who God is. In John chapter 14, that's exactly what Jesus says to the disciples there. In John 14 and verse 7, we read, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus' own disciples had difficulty with this concept and understanding that Jesus was there to reveal who God was, to show people God's true character. And yet, when people see the true character of God, they recoil in terror because of the sin that is in their own life. Even though God is harmless and innocent and holy and blameless, yet people cannot stand that form of living. They love their sin more than they love God. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Colossians 1 and verse 19. This means that Jesus, as a man, was God, as much as God the Father, who was in heaven, was God. So also was Jesus. We need to know who God is because we are made in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And so we are in the image of God. And that means that to know Jesus then is to know more about our own selves. How many of you know yourself as well as you would like to know yourself and who you are? Many years ago, people would walk around and throw their hands up in their air and say things like, "I don't know who I am," or something like that. And it was supposed to be a wise thing to do, you know, to say something like that, to confess something like that. But Jesus tells us who we really are. He reveals to us what the true nature of man is. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we read, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You see, God created Adam and Eve perfect. He created them as they exactly needed to be. And then they sinned. And that brought sin into the world. And that tainted the creation that God had made. And from that point forward, sin was in the world. And man continued to sin and to pervert that which God had created. But Jesus Christ came to set things back to the way they ought to be. And he lived that sinless life that Adam did not live. And he gave us the example that we need to follow so that we can know who we truly are, who God truly made us to be. Romans 8 and verse 29, as I mentioned earlier, tells us that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Think about that for a minute. We're no longer in the image of Adam. We are now in the image of Christ. That's what God is pushing for in all of those who confess the name Christ. He wants them to be in Christ's image. And now he gets to be the firstborn among many brethren. And instead of Adam being the standard for mankind, Jesus Christ is now the standard. And that's what Paul reveals to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45 when he writes, "Thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." You see, Jesus is the last Adam. And that means he is the new standard. And he reveals to us who God really is. And because we're made in the image of God, he reveals to us who we really are also. To know Jesus is to know grace, because Jesus was full of grace and truth. To know Jesus is to know grace, because from his fullness we receive grace upon grace. And to know Jesus is to know grace, because Jesus reveals to us who God really is. And that graces us with knowledge of ourselves also. How about becoming a brother or a sister of Jesus Christ this very evening? Perhaps someone is here who has not conformed themselves to the image of Christ. Well, now's your opportunity. Through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus is Lord and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you can come into the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection and be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Know who you really are. Learn more about yourself and what God has planned for you and your future. And that would be a great choice to make tonight. And you will have received that tremendous grace that Jesus has to offer. Or maybe this evening you're a Christian, but you found yourself far away from the image of Christ, and you need the prayers of the church to help you to get back. Tonight we can pray for you if that's what you would like to do. We would love to hear what your needs are. If you would like to make them known right now, you can come forward and do that. While together we stand and while we sing.